Welcome to the CSFL Hub Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle. Today, we'll be going over our Week 4 slate of games. This was definitely the best week of the season so far. Not even close in terms of the amount of competitive games we had. We had two games go into OT. Lots of program records set, some all-time league records. Got close to being broken. So definitely the most exciting week of CSFL and MSFL action, you know, up until this point in the season. So let's go ahead and dive right into it. Our first game that we'll be covering was Chestnut Hill versus Stack. Stack won this one 46-28. My player of the game was senior wide receiver Jaden Bennerman. He had 97 rushing yards with one rushing touchdown, four receptions, 107 receiving yards, and three touchdowns. So Stack managed to win this one. The score is not indicative of how close it was for the majority of the game. Stack did obviously pull away based on the score. It was back and forth until, you know, late in the second half. That's when Stack really just started extending that lead and put it out of reach for Chestnut Hill. Junior quarterback Ryan Kinney had a career day. He threw for 342 yards with five touchdowns. So he has been on an absolute tear. I believe that's eight touchdowns in the last two games. He threw three last week. So he's 500 plus yards and eight touchdowns in 2 weeks is really, really impressive. That puts him near the top of the league, at the top of the league in the CSFL and near the top of the league between the MSFL and the CSFL. His five touchdown performance ties him with close to a dozen guys for the second most passing touchdowns in the game. Well, now third most passing touchdowns in the game, because Jeremiah Toski, who I'll talk about later, he threw for six touchdowns. So I'll get into that when I cover the MSFL. But his five touchdowns in a game ties him with about a half a dozen guys for the third most passing touchdowns in a game in Sprint football history. So definitely an amazing performance from Kenny, who continues to show, you know, the type of quarterback he is. Again, I think he has one of the best arms in terms of being able to push the ball down the field consistently, especially awkward throws. You know, some guys can really heave it, you know, when clean pocket, you know, they can see what's going on and they get a chance to really, really wind up. But he could just flick his wrist sometimes, you know, on the move in the pocket and send it 45, 50, 55 yards down the field, drops it in the bucket consistently as well. So big ups to Kenny and the performances he's been able to string together the last two games. You know, normally a performance like that would be the main focus, but when you have a guy like Jaden Bennerman do what he did, you definitely have to shed some light on that as well. Again, Jaden Bennerman, 97 rushing yards, one rushing touchdown, four receptions, 107 yards, three receiving touchdowns. So he had four total touchdowns on a day. Another guy who had a career day, all-time program great day, 97 rushing yards. The majority of those actually came on a punt. Bennerman, who doubles as the Spartans punter, had to pull it down to get out of there to prevent the blocked punt, but actually took it all the way to the house. So definitely a testament to the type of athlete he has been up until this point in the season. He's definitely been one of Kenny's favorite targets. He has a big body, you know, all a 6'2", all a 6'3". Has been able to consistently make plays on some of the best cornerbacks in the CSFL. So he's definitely really, really, really taking a jump in his final season in the CSFL, or senior season in the CSFL, and turned into one of the premier targets in terms of a wide receiver in the CSFL. And this performance may be, you know, this performance is the best of his career up until this point, and maybe one of the best performances we see in the CSFL this season. On the defensive side of the ball, sophomore defensive lineman Donnell White and senior defensive back JT Perry both held it down for the Spartans defense. They combined for 26 tackles, five tackles for loss just between those two. So Spartans all around had an amazing night, and they really put the Griffins in a tough spot and ultimately came away with the win due to some amazing performances from Ryan Kenny and Jaden Bennerman. Flip side of this one, Chestnut Hill again, close. You know, it was a one-score game for a while, but as the game went on, particularly in the second half, the Griffins just could not produce enough offense to keep the game close and within striking distance. Sophomore quarterback Anthony Cancellara threw for 149 yards, two touchdowns, but two interceptions. But he did also have one rushing TD. So that's a 3-2 TD to turnover ratio. You know, despite the turnovers, the Griffins were in the game up until, you know, the midway point of the second half. The Griffins did run for 153 yards as a team, which is nothing to sneeze at. And that was led by the efforts from sophomore running back Zaire Pinnell and sophomore running back Miles Coates. Junior tight end Nick Ocampo was the main receiving target of the night for Chestnut Hill. He had four receptions for 44 yards. Ocampo was really, really good at working that middle of the field. He's also a red zone threat that you have to really be aware where he's lining up because the Griffins do some creative things with him, again, particularly in the red zone. Freshman defensive back Abraham Karama led the team with nine tackles and two tackles for loss. And then freshman linebacker Amir Jenkins, who had a solid game as well. Eight tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and a half a sack. Chestnut Hill heads home next week to take on Mansfield for the first time this season. They will match up twice. And then St. Thomas Aquinas, I forgot to mention, heads on the road as well. Oh, St. Thomas Aquinas heads on the road. They are also coming to Philadelphia, but they'll be playing Penn. So Stax hits the road to play Penn next week, and Chestnut Hill comes back home to Philadelphia to take on Mansfield. Next game, we have Army versus Navy. Army won this close one, 10-3. And my player of the game was freshman running back Arthur Lavalis. He ran for a career-high 124 yards with his first collegiate rushing touchdown. So this was one of those games that was close all the way through. It was 3-3. Again, up until the very last minute of the game, literally and figuratively, running back Arthur Lavalis scored the, you know, game-deciding touchdown with 47 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So this game was as tight as any matchup these two teams have ever had. And defensively, you know, both defense held the opposing offenses in check. You know, the Army offense is a little bit historically a little bit more explosive, especially the last few years. You know, the last 2 to 3 years, Navy's had a Matthew McGee and Alex Tota, so they're dynamic in the run game. Excuse me. But they haven't been able to replicate that level of explosiveness in the run game up until this point in the season. And Army has been extremely explosive with Mikael Wilkie the last few seasons, but they weren't able to get everything they wanted in terms of the offense. But the Army running game ultimately was what decided the game. And again, that was with Arthur Lavalis. A little bit of Henry Beck as well. But every time Arthur touched the ball, you know, he got positive yardage. I don't think he lost any yards in the game. Definitely does not run like a freshman. He's very, very physical. Also has that explosive, you know, one cut, one step. Gets to his top speed very, very fast. And he was a nightmare to cover for the midshipmen all night. Again, the rest of the offense wasn't quite there. Senior quarterback Mikael Wilkie was held to just 64 yards with an interception. I know they'd like that passing game to be a little bit more, you know, well-oiled. You know, they have a lot of different things and a lot of different dynamic ways to manufacture yards. But just a testament to the Navy defense and what they were able to prevent the Army offense from doing. Defensive side of the ball, senior linebacker Christian Diazino led the team with eight tackles, one tackle for loss. And then senior defensive lineman Ryan Rast really put a lot of pressure on the Navy offense. He had five tackles, two tackles for loss, and one sack. Army hits the road next week to take on Cornell, who has been absent from competition for the last 2 weeks. Other side of this one, we have Navy. Navy stepped up on both sides of the ball, but again, a last-second touchdown decided the game, put that final nail in the coffin. Senior quarterback Brendan Atwood, similar to Mikhail Wilkie, did not have a game, you know, characteristic game for him. He only threw for 90 yards, no touchdowns with two interceptions. So I know they would like to see some improvement out of that passing game from Atwood. Atwood is one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the CSFL. You know, not necessarily the most prolific in terms of yardage and or rushing yards, but 90 yards, two interceptions is definitely not a game you're going to see from him a lot throughout the season. Senior running back Victor Otero led the team with rushing with 88 yards. Again, he's been a lead back this year. Isn't quite, you know, Alex Tota, Matthew McGee, Caleb Champion, some of those guys who've been, you know, in a direct string before him. But he's definitely been a capable runner. But, you know, I think they're missing a little bit of that top-tier dynamic in terms of a running back. They're always going to be able to manufacture running yards. They're always going to be able to find someone to tote the pill. But like Penn with the quarterbacks, and, you know, Army's had a good stretch of receivers, and they've really been the team who's won 5, 6, 7 straight, not just good running backs, but like all-time great running backs in a row. Again, I think they went from a Eric Wellemont to a David Williams to a Brennan Clements to a Caleb Champion to a Matthew McGee to a Alex Tota. So I think that streak might be over right now. But again, still able to muster up some positive rushing yardage. Defensively, senior defensive lineman Devin Martin, he led the team with 12 tackles, one tackle for a loss. He's been pretty consistent so far throughout the season. Looking to wrap up what has been a very, very good career for him on the defensive line. And the usually stout front seven, you know, despite Martin's efforts, did not slow down the Navy running game, which is really what you don't see from them. You know, if you are going to be effective, especially since they don't really have like a Grant Hooper or Adam Weisenfels, you're going to throw the ball. But their passing defense actually held the Army passing defense in check. But Army was able to run the ball very effectively and more consistently than they've run against a multitude of teams in years past. So Navy heads home next week to take on Caldwell. Our last CSFL action of the weekend. Again, another close game. Our first overtime game of the weekend. Mansfield won this one 13-6 in OT. And my player of the game was junior quarterback Kasid Raymond. He threw for 96 yards, two interceptions. But his most important impact on the game was his 108 rushing yards with his game-winning rushing touchdown in overtime. So these two teams always get after it, always have good matchups. You know, there's one or two years where one team might be immensely better and we have a score that's indicative of that. But usually these two teams play a one-score game, two-score game. And this one was no different, 6-6 tie when we went into overtime. So it was just close, defensive football all the way through. Heroic efforts from junior quarterback Kasid Raymond. You know, he saved the day. He saved the day, not just in overtime, but throughout the game. Again, the offense passing-wise wasn't the most crisp. Raymond made his return after, you know, a game and two-quarter absence. So, you know, it's not going to be as crisp, as well-oiled as if he was playing the last, you know, one and a half games. But, you know, they'll continue to improve from there. Again, did not throw a touchdown and did turn it over twice, but 108 rushing yards. You know, he was the main source of offense for Mansfield. Whenever they stalled a little bit, long second down, long third down, just needed a spark, he found a way to get things going. Like a lot of games this weekend, special teams and penalties really, really, really played a big part. Both Mansfield and Caldwell had big touchdown runs called back, which could have changed the whole tide of the game, could have changed the whole momentum of the game. I think Kasid had a run get called back I believe Devin Turner for Caldwell had a run get called back. And then penalties did not help the efforts of either team as well. Good drives, consistent drives, good momentum swinging in either team's direction, and penalties just killed it, not just in this game, but multiple games throughout this weekend. So that's definitely something I think coaching staffs across both leagues will be looking to clean up, because they can be so detrimental to your team's success, especially in these close games. Sophomore defensive lineman Ian Mapp had a great game. Probably one of the best games of his young career so far. He had 10 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss with 1 sack. Senior linebacker Matt Robert continuing to wrap up his historic career. He had 10 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss with 0.5 a sack. Then we have in the secondary, a freshman defensive back, Chase Thompson. He came down with 2 interceptions that really swung the momentum in Mansfield's favor and prevented the Cougars offense from, you know, sustaining long drives. Mansfield hits the road next week to visit Chestnut Hill for the first time this season. When we get to our other side of this matchup, we have Caldwell. And Caldwell was here every step of the way. And if it weren't for those, you know, previously mentioned penalties, as well as some drop passes, Caldwell could have won this one, or it would have looked differently in terms of momentum if it still went in the overtime. But, you know, that's just the way the game go. That's how it go. You got to charge it to the game. You know, you got to catch passes, and, you know, no coach, no team wants to have, you know, penalties that disrupt the momentum and disrupt drives. Senior quarterback Frank DeMio had a bit of an uncharacteristic game. He threw for 96 yards with 2 interceptions. So lots of uncharacteristic games from some of the CSFL's top quarterbacks. Feels like 2 weeks with a consistent nor'easter here with a sprinkle of 90-degree weather. So, you know, conditions weren't the best. I know it was wet on the field, I believe, if I heard the announcers correctly. Again, it's been raining here. It rained here pretty much half of the week last week in Philadelphia. Then it was like 85 degrees 4 days in a row. And then yesterday was the first day that a Friday was the first day it felt like fall again, including yesterday. And it did rain a little bit in Philadelphia as well. So the weather conditions seem to be having an effect on, you know, particularly the quarterback play. In terms of snaps and ability to throw the ball consistently and receivers catching the ball. But again, you got to charge it up to the game. So you expect your best players to make their best plays in the best game. So did not have his best game. Expect him to return to form throughout the season. But ultimately, get 96 yards, 2 interceptions was not enough to secure the win in this one. Sophomore running back Devin Turner, he led the team on the ground with 45 yards. Senior wide receiver Jeremy Colon was probably the most consistent offensive weapon for the Cougars in this one. He had 7 receptions for 73 yards. He's been Caldwell's best receiver in a very, very crowded wide receiver core. He's consistently been able to make plays. He's on pace for, I think, his best season statistically in terms of catches, yards, touchdowns. So definitely how you want to end out a career in your senior year, you know, having a career year in all 3 statistics. So if he continues on his pace, I'm pretty sure he'll have a career high. And I think he's averaging maybe 4 catches a game, 50, 60 yards a game. You know, he's had a game with 1 touchdown, I think 2 or 3 touchdowns. So maybe not exactly a touchdown a game, but if he can get 1 or 2 more to go with consistent targets and some big play yardage, I think he'll be on pace for a career year in his senior season. So that's definitely something to look out for whenever you're tuning into a Cougars game. Junior defensive back Amajuan Murray led the team in tackles with 8, also had 1 interception. And then junior defensive back Michael Bonsu, he added 8 tackles and 3 tackles for loss. Caldwell hits the road next week to go take on Navy. Next up, we'll get into our MSFL action. More close games, more overtime games, more record-breaking performances. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. First up, we have Quincy versus Midway. Quincy won this one 24-7. My player of the game was sophomore wide receiver Nasir Carson. He had 5 receptions for 101 yards with 1 touchdown. The Hawks got rolling early in this one, scoring on their first drive. I believe it was their first play on their first drive. Might have been, or maybe their second play. After that, the game was never in reach for Midway. Freshman quarterback Deuce Alloway, who started for, I believe, his second or third consecutive game, threw for 155 yards with 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He's, you know, showing some promise out there as a freshman quarterback. Touchdown to turnover ratio is about what you expect from a freshman. But he's showing he can throw the pill. He can definitely throw the pill. And like any freshman quarterback on any of the teams that are in year two, any team in the CSFL, you have to go through those growing pains in terms of your reads and getting hit and, you know, knowing who to target and knowing what defenses are trying to do to you and, you know, how to dissect coverages and things. But he's definitely a guy you can see getting better. It seems like quarter to quarter. So definitely be interesting to see his development as we continue through the season, watching Quincy. And the Hawks had a very, very effective rushing game, 156 yards and 1 touchdown as a team with 4, 5, 6 guys used to, you know, achieve that total. So Hawks rushing game has been very, very effective this season with multiple guys. It seems like there's a different leading rusher every game so far with 4 games through the season. Main offensive weapon, he was sophomore wide receiver Nasir Carson. He had a career high in every receiving category. His 5 receptions, 101 yards, and 1 touchdown are all career highs for him. So he looks like he's going to be a guy who you can put into that mix with Xavier Hinton and Camden Pye. Very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous wide receiving core there that's starting to develop. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys continue to, you know, change, develop, and how they can help out their young quarterback. You know, it helps when you have guys who can make plays. I believe Carson's touchdown was a very, very short. It was either slant. I don't think it was a tunnel screen. It was either slant or a drag, something like that. And he took it to the house. So, like 40, 50 plus yards. So you can really help out your young quarterback by, you know, getting those extra yards after the catch, you know, as an explosive receiver. Freshman linebacker Antoine Rockmore led the team in tackles with 9. And then sophomore defensive lineman Bryce Vaught, who's been stringing together a stretch of good games. He had 7 tackles, 3 tackles for loss with 1 sack. You know, there is always going to be room for improvement, but Quincy is playing really, really solid football. Now sitting at 3-1. So them, I believe Fontbonne, St. Mary of the Woods College are all 3-1, with Bellarmine being the last undefeated team at 4-0. So coming down the stretch, it is going to be very, very interesting, especially when you look at some of these matchups. I believe Fontbonne beat Quincy, and then Fontbonne lost to St. Mary of the Woods. St. Mary's of the Woods plays Quincy after the bye. So these last 3 games, these last 3 regular season games will really decide it, you know, in terms of playoff seeding. So it'd be really, really interesting to see how things shake out as we go through the second half of the season in the MSFL. Midway prevented Quincy from scoring at will, but they didn't score enough in terms of being able to punch back to keep the game close. Freshman quarterback Keegan Hill, who's been very, very impressive in his 2 or 3 starts so far this season, threw for 212 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Again, guy who you're seeing the freshman growing pains, but you're seeing the production as well. You're seeing what he could become, you know, as he continues to mature, as well as the offense, as well as his young receivers. Freshman running back Mike Anderson had a game high 83 yards on the ground. And then freshman wide receivers Damon Miller and Rudy Loomis were responsible for 14 receptions with 135 yards. Loomis is a guy who's been very, very impressive so far during this freshman season. Again, with the MSFL only in its second year, there are some first-year wide receivers who are having a big, big impact. Look at Hawkins Sims for Walsh. You look at David Collins for Fontbonne. There's some freshman guys who are having really, really big seasons. Even in CSFL, you look at Nyjer Jones for St. Thomas Aquinas. But Loomis is a guy who's really at the top of that pack as well. You know, he has 281 yards in four games, which puts him second in terms of receiving yards between the MSFL and the CSFL. So as a freshman, to be second in all of Spring Football in total receiving yards through four games is very, very impressive. Again, despite the highs and lows coming from this man, Midway offense, their brightest stars continue to show their potential and what this offense and defense can be capable of, you know, when they finally hit their stride and can string together a consistent play and consistent wins. On defense, again, some of their best guys, sophomore linebacker Luke Guerrero and freshman linebacker Nora Watson, they combined for 17 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks. And then Watson also had one interception with one PBU. So really, really good football coming out of Midway. They just have to continue to develop and finish some of these games before they can really take that next step. Midway goes into the bye before they welcome Oakland City to Kentucky. Another really, really close game in this one. I thought this one was going to go to overtime until Fontbonne broke the tie late. Fontbonne versus Walsh. Fontbonne won this one 12-6. My player of the game was freshman wide receiver KJ Burns. He had three receptions, 144 yards with one touchdown. So Fontbonne withstood a very gritty performance from this young Walsh Cavalier team and ultimately pulled out the win. Again, this game was tied up going into the fourth quarter. So this was another one that just showed you how competitive the MSFL can be in terms of parity and how competitive spring football can be when you get two teams with the right matchups and the right players. Freshman quarterback Tomas Taylor, another young guy, particularly a freshman quarterback who is showing you the type of player he can mature into and what Fontbonne may have on their hands in terms of a ball, you know, a thrower in terms of a quarterback at the helm. Young quarterback threw for 187 yards, one touchdown with one interception. He's a guy, I think I've said it probably 3 or 4 weeks in a row now, in terms of arm talent, like just being able to uncork it and throw it as far as you can, flat-footed, on the move, you know, rolling right, rolling left. He has as strong of an arm as any quarterback in the CSFL from freshman all the way to senior. So it's definitely impressive to see him throw the ball. The accuracy is what you expect from a freshman. And again, the touchdown turnover ratio is what you expect from a freshman. But he is a guy who is really ripping it. And that really, really helps when you have a stable of wide receivers who are really, really fast. You know, between Recco and Burns and Collins, that's about as good of a receiving core in the league, but particularly just the speed aspect of it in terms of guys who can take the top off a defense. They have two or three guys who, you know, rank anywhere from 1 to 5, 6, or 7. So it helps when you have a guy who can really push it and not consistently underthrow wide receivers. So that's what they have in Taylor, and he looks like he could develop into one of the better quarterbacks in the MSFL or the CSFL. Again, freshman wide receiver KJ Burns had a career day, his first 100-yard game in his career. Three receptions, 144 yards with a touchdown. Defensive side of the ball, more impressive play from sophomore linebacker Avion Bass, led the team again in tackles. Another double-digit tackle game. This time he had 14 with two tackles for loss. Sophomore defensive back Dante Lewis put the nail in the coffin. He won the game. He had an acrobatic 71-yard interception. It's acrobatic interception that he returned for 71 yards for the pick six touchdown. Caught the ball, had to stay up on his feet. Did that textbook, you know, running back, arm in the ground, bounce back up, and took it all the way to the house with some lead blockers in front of him. So if they don't get that interception, maybe we go to overtime. So it was definitely a game-changing play, and it was good to see the sophomore be able to make a play like that that ultimately won the game for the Griffins. Fontbonne heads into the bye before they go on the road to take on CCSJ. Next up, we have, other side of this one, we have Wash. Again, young team, but they're showing that they're going to be a dangerous team for years to years to come, already going toe-to-toe with teams with some of the best players in the MSFL, some of the best players between the MSFL and the CSFL. And they were just a handful of plays away from winning it. And if they get some more production, you know, in certain phases of the game, they may win the game. Like Midway, like Oakland City, they continue to have ups and downs. The passing game particularly seems to be very, very hot or very, very cold. And that's what you expect from a first-year team. Quarterbacks combined for 15 yards with 2 interceptions. So non-existent passing game in this one. But the running game ultimately kept it close for them. Sophomore athlete Jaden Gordon ran for a career high 108 yards with 1 touchdown. So he's had a 100-yard receiving game on the year, a 100-yard rushing game on the year, and the very first touchdown in Walsh history was a kick return from him. So he had 100-plus kick return yards in his first game of his career. So definitely one of the most explosive players in the MSFL. For Walsh is Gordon, and he looks like a guy who could be one of those athlete types where you line him up wherever we line him up. We're just trying to get a mismatch with him and get him to pill in space and just let him do what he can do. So he looks like he's going to be a dominant, you know, Weapon X type player for years to come, and he's already one of the most explosive players in the MSFL. Defense, balanced attack. You know, not real top heavy in terms of performances. Freshman defensive lineman Tayada Sellers led the team in tackles. He had 5 tackles on the day. Walsh heads into the bye week before they take on undefeated Bellarmine on the road. Next up, we have CCSJ versus Oakland City. CCSJ wins this one 21-0. My player of the game is sophomore running back Elijah Antis. Hit 65 yards on the ground with 1 touchdown. Now, this one was close for a while. You know, don't let the score fool you. CCSJ slowly and methodically pulled away from Oakland City with some field goals by Sayers. So this was a game for a while. And the passing game, another team in the Crimson Wave, is not been crisp or very, very effective at this point in the season or consistent. Freshman quarterbacks Javion Lewis and Destry Peoples combined just for 80 yards and with 3 interceptions. So very, very inconsistent thus far into the season. And that's something I know they'll be looking to fix coming out of their bye week, league-wide bye week. Sophomore running back Elijah Antis has been one of the main offensive weapons. Led the team in rushing with 65 yards, also added 1 touchdown on the ground. Sophomore defensive back Josh Tejeda and Alexander DeLucci led the way. They combined for 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack, and 2 forced fumbles. Crimson Wave hit the bye before they welcome Font Bond to Indiana. Oakland City was close for a while, but just a lack of offense, you know, wasn't going to swing this one in their favor. Freshman quarterback Jacob Lee only threw for 87 yards with the interception. Also non-existent in the running game. Lee was actually their leading rusher with just 16 yards on the ground. On defense, they have some guys who are absolutely showing out week in, week out. A freshman defensive lineman Keith Hall had a monster game. He finished with 14 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. Hall's 6 tackles for loss ties him for the 2nd most in a game in CSFL or MSFL history. So, you know, being a freshman to set a record like that is nothing to sneeze at. Very, very impressive. He looks like he may be one of the better freshman defensive linemen in the MSFL and the CSFL. And right behind him, who I believe has probably been their best player thus far into the season, is freshman defensive back Kanye Johnson. Another monster game. Seems like he has a double-digit tackle game every game. 13 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 1 sack. Again, I think Johnson's probably been their best player on either side of the ball up until this point in the season. Definitely their best defensive player at this point in the season. And his production is something that's been very, very eye-opening, and you have to take notice of. especially as an opposing offensive coordinator. I mean, he's a guy who's always all around the field, and it seems like he's always near the ball. So defensive players like that oftentimes have very, very great careers, because sometimes that's something you can't coach, just a nose for the football is the common expression, and he definitely has that and then some. So he's been their brightest star on an Oakland City team still searching for their first win in program history. Oakland City enters the bye before they hit the road to take on Midway. Lastly, we have what I think will probably be the game of the year. You know, we have two championship games between two leagues to look forward to, but this was, and I tweeted this out, one of the most exciting games I've ever seen and ever been a part of. You know, I've been involved with CSFL and MSFL football for, I think this is 8 or 9 years. I played as a player from 15 to 18. You know, I started covering the CSFL the very next year. You know, the inaugural year of the Hub was 2019. You know, the MSFL comes into existence last year. It's my second year covering the MSFL. I'm a, you know, self-named historian. I've found every bit of tape that exists on the internet, articles. I've been bought subscriptions just to get access to box scores from newspapers from 19 whatever, early 2000 whatever. Like, I've seen the best players at the premier positions, you know, names like Whitshaw, Todd Butler, Javier Susitita, Cody Knipe, Tom Jeffers, Marquise Burrell, play with guys like Demory Hill, Rayvon Floyd Bennett, you know, Johnny Baldwin, played against guys like Brennan Clements, Caleb Champion, played against like Carl Watson's, you know what I'm saying? I seen guys like Alex Tota, seen almost every game of his whole career. I seen a lot of football between these two leagues. I'd argue the only two people who've seen more CSFL and MSFL football than me are probably Coach Wags, who was coaching since like the 70s or the 60s, and Mark West, who was a player at Army and been coaching there for like 16 years now. And I'm creeping up on those two because I'm sure they're not checking out a lot of MSFL games. So I'm watching 8 games a week for as long as I'm healthy enough to do this, which is going to be for a long, long, long time. I say all that to say that this was one of the best games in spring football history. Without a doubt. 1, 2, or 3. Army had a really historic game against Penn that was like, you know, 52-48, something like that, 53-47. Todd Butler, that's the game he set, you know, all-time CSFL record. And Javier Susitita had some big numbers that game. You look at the names. It was Butler throwing to Whitshaw, Susitita throwing the Knipe and Jeffers. That was a crazy game. And then Army had a really crazy game against Post, I think, the same week that season. But 56-50 is one of the top 2 point totals in 2 or 3 point totals in spring football history. You know, 106 points combined between the two teams. So I just had to let that be known that both of these teams contributed to history, like cemented themselves in history as one of the greatest games to ever be played in this style of football in these two conferences. My player of the games were a sophomore running back, Brennan Reed. He ran 414 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, including the game winner with 2 receptions for 19 yards. And I could not throw freshman quarterback Luke Worley up there, who had a career day, the best game of his season, the best game of his career. 203 yards, 3 passing touchdowns with 2 touchdowns on the ground. So, like I said, this was an absolute shootout, man. Another game that was severely severely affected by turnovers. Well, not turnovers, excuse me. No turnovers in this one. Through the air. But penalties. There were some special team snafus. And some mishaps that weren't exactly turnovers, but like mishandled snaps and stuff. But there were some fumbles. So you could still say turnovers as well. So turnovers and penalties just really hurt both of the teams. Ultimately, I think some turnovers left the door open for Bellarmine to take it from St. Mary to Woods College. So it just goes to show that even whether it's, 6-6 or 56-50, turnovers and penalties are going to hurt you. And they can be the reason you lose the game. But this one was a nail biter all the way through. This one went into double OT. So we had a single overtime in our first game, in our CSFL game, excuse me, with Mansfield on Caldwell. This one went to double OT. Again, freshman quarterback Luke Worley, career day. Threw for career high 203 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns on the ground. He's definitely come a long way. You look at Worley in the passing game at Bellarmine. First game of the season against Oakland City, I believe he threw for single digits in terms of passing yardage. And now to have his first 200-yard game, his first 3-touchdown game in the same season, it goes to show how much you can improve just from week 1 to week 4. Not just as a passing game, but him as an individual in terms of as a quarterback. So that's definitely impressive to see, his maturation process throughout the season. And then you got good old Brendan Reed, man. Like, I'm really high on the guy. I say it week in and week out. He's one of my favorite players to watch between the two leagues. I really love his running style and just how he just consistently batters you over and over and over and over and over again. And St. Mary the Woods had him bottled up a little bit. Like, he only had about 30, 40, yards coming out of halftime. I think if he, all three of his touchdowns might have been in the second half. If not, he had one in the first half. But for him to end up with, .114 with 3 tutties shows the consistency he has as a player, the faith that the offensive coordinators have in him to keep feeding him the pill. And that's something I think is just a testament to the type of player he is. Again, the only other guy I've seen in my time as a player, reporter, and, a historian, guy who actually just finished, Alex Tota. Right, he reminds me of Alex Tota, and he somehow is bigger than Alex Tota. And Alex Tota was a rifle. Alex Tota was a bullet out of gun every time he touched a pill. And Reed looks like a cannonball out of cannon every time he touches the pill. So he is probably wrapping up, another, at least not wrapping it up. Toski's gonna have a good shot at it too so far in the season, but another MSFL player of the year. He is the absolute catalyst of this team. You could liken it to Cassid Raymond from Mansfield, where when he's going, we're going. And when he's not in the game or not playing well, we have a hard time. We may have some other talented players, but it's just something about the team chemistry, the cohesion, the flow of the play calling. Like, when he's going well, the team is going well. And there's only a few guys like that in the league where if they're not playing well, the team can't muster up much. And Reed is like that. And they've won games. They had a game this year where Reed had negative yardage just because teams were so, hyper-focused on him. They actually did manage to stop him, slow him down. But he's a phenomenal lead blocker, and he's committed to blocking. And I think that's so underrated as a pass blocker and as a lead run blocker. You have some guys who they don't want to stick their face in there if they don't got the pill, man. They don't want to do it. And you can see he eagerly seeks out contact even when he's not touching the pill. So really, really good game from Reed. He continues to have a monster season. He's already creeping up on some all-time career, lists in terms of rushing yardage and touchdowns. He has 9 touchdowns this season. He has 6 last year. That's 15 career rushing touchdowns. He's already tied for 10th. for the most rushing touchdowns in Spartan football history. And he's 11 games into his career, 12 games into his career. So his all-time career totals are going to be stupid. But, you know, he was one of the main reasons Bellarmine was able to win this one. So more impressive offense from the Knights. Freshman wide receiver Tyler Smith had a career day. Florida kid. 6 receptions, 99 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns for the hat trick. So he's a guy who been noticeable, you know, throughout the game so far. Again, the passing game for Bellarmine hasn't been what's clicking consistently. But, you know, that vaults him, I think, to be their leading receiver now in terms of yardage and touchdowns. He's had some catches and some yards throughout the other games too, but nothing like this. This is the best game of his career. Defense, freshman defensive back Lance Weeder led the team with 10 tackles. And sophomore linebacker Caleb Murray, who's probably their best defensive player, especially in terms of production and consistency. 9 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks with 1 forced fumble. Murray's a guy who I don't want to say is underrated, because I definitely don't underrate him. But I think sometimes you can forget the impact he has on that game. You know, like a Trevor Bucy for CCSJ. That's their linebacker. Caldwell, like a Jamal Redis. That's their linebacker. Chestnut Hill is Lex Williams. That's their linebacker. You know, Stack has a Chris Jones. That's their linebacker. Murray is their guy on that second level. Like, that's their guy. He's the guy, Matt Robert, Gavin Hinman from Mansfield. They have a nice pairing there. But Murray is as impactful as any of those guys that I just mentioned. And he's one of the best linebackers in the CSFL and the MSFL. I don't think I say that enough. But you turn on a tape, you see why. You'll see why. He's definitely a guy who is going to be here for good for years to come and should have a absolutely magical career for the Knights as a linebacker for them. Bellarmine hits the bye week, like all the MSFL teams, their league mandated bye week, before they hit the road to take on Walsh to keep their winning streak alive. Other side of this one, St. Mary Woods College. Second half of this historic day. Again, can't say enough great things about both teams. This was one of the best games I've ever seen. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, from literally start to finish. Junior quarterback Jeremiah Toskey, record-breaking day, 419 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown on the ground, 7 total touchdowns for the junior. His 419 yards are good for the third most in Spartan football history. His 6 touchdowns were good for the second most in a game in Spartan football history. So absolutely astronomical. The only guys ahead of him were Todd Bustler, again, who had the record for a long, long, long time. And then Brendan Landry, who's no longer part of the St. Mary Woods College program, he threw for 425 or 35 last year. So he has the second ever 400-yard passing game in MSFL history. And the only other guy who had one was Pomeroy last year. So they've had really, really good success with finding quarterbacks and who aren't just capable but going to be top-tier guys. And Toskey very quickly vaulted himself into, you know, player of the year conversations, first team all league conversations. Not that he wasn't in the first team league conversations early. I think he quickly showed he's probably the best quarterback in the MSFL. But performance like that, you got to put everything on pause and reevaluate everything. Where you think guys were going to settle, what season stats were going to look like, who you think was going to be first team, second team. It kind of shuffles the board when he goes for 6 total touchdowns, throws for 6, throws for 400. Absolutely monster game. And again, if it weren't for a penalty here, you know, a turnover there, they maybe don't open the door for Bellarmine to win the game. St. Mary the Woods had their 1 touchdown advantage. Oh, also, the other thing that was crazy this weekend, special teams. In terms of, yeah, turnovers with like muff punts and kickoffs and stuff, but extra points and field goals. There were like 5 or 6 blocked, not just missed, blocked extra points and field goals this week in the CSFL and MSFL. And that was the difference. Again, you look at Mansfield Caldwell, 66. It was 66 for a reason. St. Mary of the Woods in college and Bellarmine both had one, two, or three blocked field goals and then missed field goals in extra points. So those ultimately helped impact the game and decide the game. So again, if they don't muff a punt here, they don't muff a field goal, kickoff return there and get bad field position, they don't get those penalties that move them back after getting a first down, they may win 56-50. They might win 48-42. But Bellarmine continued to capitalize. So, you know, despite these impressive numbers and performances from both teams, their best guys on both teams, the penalties and special team snafus ultimately decided the game along with the turnovers. Sophomore running back Patrick Pereira ran for a team high 85 yards, had a chance to win it late, you know, unfortunately fumbled, turned the ball over, but he's a guy who consistently shows up for the Pomeroys week in and week out and should continue to do so for the rest of the season. The receiving core, three musketeers for the Pomeroys, sophomore wide receiver Devron Johnson, five receptions, 112 yards, a touchdown. Sophomore tight end Carlos Munoz, 11 receptions, 111 yards, two touchdowns. And freshman wide receiver Calvin Jacy, five receptions, 92 yards, three touchdowns. So just incredible performances, you know, from this receiving core to go along with Jeremiah Toski, who was able to, you know, hit these guys consistently and just continue to push the ball down the field. One play in particular that really, really, really sticks out in my mind was from Carlos Munoz, where he caught the ball, ended up dragging a Bellarmine defender about 10, 15 yards into the end zone for the touchdown. You know, he caught it, you know, where he caught it, maybe even more yards, but strong catch, strong hands. And it shows you the benefit of a tight end. Like, yes, you can have big-bodied wide receivers, but he's really a tight end. He had a couple blocks in this game too, pancake blocks and just crucial blocks to spring, you know, some of these big runs from Toski and Pereira and Keandre Jones as well. So he is one of the only legitimate tight ends in the CSFL and MSFL. Only other one really is Nick Ocampo for Chestnut Hill. But Munoz definitely is cementing himself. You know, in my mind, he's the best tight end in either league, you know, with only one or two guys even coming close. But he really, really impressed me in this game. And then you look at Devron Johnson, you know, he's leading both leagues in receiving yards. You know, he's the season leader in receiving yards between MSFL and CSFL right now. So the Pomeroys are going to be really, really, really hard to stop offensively with this much firepower and with a quarterback like Toski at the helm. Defensively, they've had guys step up all year, too. Another guy who's a freshman powerhouse, freshman defensive lineman, DeLon Harvey, has been an absolute beast. 14 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks as a freshman. He's a freshman. That performance might be good enough for MSFL Defensive Player of the Week. And there were some really other big performances. It's going to be hard to pick, but man, like, he's a guy who's week in, week out. You wouldn't know he was a freshman. That's how he plays. You know, there are some guys, Arthur Lavalis is a guy who comes to mind for Army, but you wouldn't know he was a freshman, man. You'd think he was a four-year starter with the all-time record in sacks, tackles for loss, and he'll probably come close to that, you know, should he continue to play for the next 4 years and stay healthy. So he's been a guy who's been an absolute menace to opposing offenses, and he's quickly turning into one of my favorite players to watch on St. Mary of the Woods College. SMWC hits the bye in the MSFL before they go take on Quincy at home. So that wraps up our week 4 action. Again, this was the week of the year. This was one of the best weeks in MSFL and CSFL in quite some time. You just look at the level of parity top to bottom. You look at the level of competition top to bottom. We had two overtime games. two really, really close games get decided in the final minutes. Army, Navy, Fompon, Walsh. You know, records getting broken, game records getting tied, broken, surpassed. All types of crazy stuff. So this was a super exciting week. The MSFL goes on their league-wide bye week next week, or this week. So there will only be CSFL action next week. So, you know, it'll be interesting to watch. Definitely encourage maybe some of the MSFL teams to check it out. You know, you'll have some downtime for some of those key times, Friday, Saturday afternoon, Friday nights, things like that. Check out some of the games. Check out some of the other best players. You know, a game that I think will be really, really interesting going into next week will be Mansfield Chestnut Hill. You know, two teams looking to salvage their seasons. Mansfield got their first win of the season with the return of Cassid Raymond, and Chestnut Hill looking to, you know, get back to their winning ways as they return home. So that'll definitely be a very, very interesting game to watch. So also St. Thomas Aquinas versus Penn. St. Thomas Aquinas has got their first program win against Penn last year. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, with this momentum that they got, if they just run it up down there in Philadelphia, down here in Philadelphia. So those would be some games I'll definitely check out, encourage people to check out. Should be two good games there in the CSFL next week. So that was our week 4 review. I am your host as always, Kyle. Thank you guys for tuning in. Catch you guys next week. Peace.